So this week I was thinking, we're finishing off Thanksgiving, the official Thanksgiving holiday, and we're going into the Christmas season when we're thankful that God sent His Son as a gift to us. So I thought a message on Thanksgiving, a thankfulness would be appropriate. But also, we were finishing up our series in the Nine Marks, and it talked about the healthy church and healthy church membership. So I kind of combined both of them together, and we'll just see how thankfulness and membership go together. To start off, you have to ask yourself the question, why do we have a church? What's the point? Well, the church is the body of Christ. It's not a building. It's the people that come together under the headship of Jesus Christ. Our church is stronger together than we can be individually. We need to be effective for the mission that God has given us. We have different skills, different gifts, and hopefully they complement each other to do something that we as individuals could not achieve. Paul uses the imagery of the body and the parts of the body, and I love every time he brings that up. It's a great way to illustrate how important each part, each person plays in the body of the church. But what is the purpose and mission of the local church? Well, in Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, Paul says, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Having finished the Nine Marks series with Mark Dever, and I looked in the book, What is a Healthy Church? And I thought, you know, first off, you have to make the case that the local church has a calling. And in his book, Dever says this, now the church which has been granted the life of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit is called to display the character and glory of God to all the universe, testifying in word and action to His great wisdom and work of salvation. The corporate church, our church, is meant to build environments where we can build relationships, that we can build relationships with other Christians to worship God, to grow with other Christians, support God's church, serve the body, and reach others to fulfill God's plan for His kingdom. Today I'd like to talk about motivations and manifestation. That is, motivation. What's in our heart? Why do we do what we do? Typically, you can't see the motives of another person. It's an internal thing. But the manifestation of that can be seen through external acts by what people do and what people say. So we're going to look at a pair of motives and motivations and manifestations. So my first question in your handout, the second actually, but the first point, are you thankful for God's mercy and grace? Almighty God is the creator of the universe. He created you and me. But we are separated from Him through sin, the sin of Adam, and our own sinful nature. Sin is not something we can reconcile with God of our own power, for we are not righteous. It's only through God's mercy and grace that we can be saved. Ephesians 2, looking at Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. Grace and mercy. Well, how does that translate? What is a manifestation? That's the motive. That is why we would be thankful to God. And how would we show that? What is one way that would be manifested in an action? We should attend a weekly worship service. Participating in this weekly worship is an opportunity for us to glorify God. We worship God through songs of praise, praying, listening to God's Word, and celebrating communion, as we just did. Did Jesus ever model attending worship service? Let's take a look at Luke 4. Luke 4, verses 14 through 16. And Jesus, returning to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all the surrounding district, and He began teaching in their synagogues, their places of worship, their churches, synagogues, and was praised by all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as was His custom, He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. Synagogues were built across Israel, and their purpose was to worship on the Sabbath. And the Jews would, and according to historical records, the Jews would be singing songs of praise. They would have prayer readings. They would be reading the Scripture. There would be an interpretive message of the Scripture, and there would be a priestly blessing. That pretty much sounds like our services. I would hope that one of those things that they would have done was to sing something like Psalm 96. And now, in case anybody's worried, they would probably sing it. Well, have no fear, I'm just going to read it. Psalm 96, starting in verse 1. I just love this. This is a psalm that talks about both the Gentiles and the Jews worshiping together, recognizing God, and in His sanctuary and in His courts. So listen to this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Tell of His glory among the nations, His wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord and glory of His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath. He set an example for us to do the same. Can we do any less than what example He set? So that's why I say an action, a manifestation of our love for the mercy and grace of God would be that we attend a weekly worship service. Are you thankful for your fellow Christians? As a believer, are you glad that we are not alone? It is important that we have our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Take a look at what Jesus told his disciples in John 13. John 13, verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This was a new commandment Jesus gave to his disciples. It wasn't a suggestion. This is part of our witness to the unbelieving world. If we're going to make a difference, it needs to be obvious to the world. We're all told, Jesus told us that the world would hate us because they hated him. Therefore, we need to build the bonds amongst our fellow Christians and strengthen that family, that body. Motivation, we should love other Christians so that the world will recognize we are different. How might that occur? Well, the action, the manifestation, is to be a member of a small group. In the gathering of small groups, we try to provide environments that help to build relationships and grow through discipling one another. The early church spent a lot of time together. Just take a look at Acts. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 40 to 42. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Here's the key. Here's the relational aspect. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They shared their meals. They shared their possessions. They shared the word of God. Each was helping the others to grow in faith and love for God, but also in love for their fellow Christians. How can we truly love one another if we don't get to know one another? So I would ask everybody to do what they can to be part of a small group. Are you thankful for the provision, for God's provision for you? God provides us, and he provides for this church. Remember, God owns everything. We're just stewards of what he's given us. That provision is shown in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. Jesus says, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." How great is God's provision for us, both materially and spiritually? So what are we called to do that we're thankful for this provision? We're called to contribute regularly to the support of the local church. God's plan includes setting aside some who would serve him full time and be supported by the other church members. And God provides us with facilities for us to meet. Well, both of these, we have a responsibility, a duty to return back to God some of the gifts he has bestowed upon us. I thought it was interesting looking at Joshua, the tribe of Levi. Joshua 13, just a simple verse. "Only to the tribe of Levi, he did not give an inheritance. The offerings by the fire to the Lord, the God of Israel, are their inheritance, as he spoke to him. Imagine if you're one of the 12 tribes, you just happen to be the tribe of Levi. And as the land is being parceled out, he said, oh yeah, you tribe of Levi, you don't get anything. Actually, they got small areas around cities, but they did not get the big areas, the territories of Israel. And I always found that intriguing. He didn't give them a portion like he did everybody else. Why did he do that? Why was God set them apart? It was for them to devote themselves to serving the Lord. That was their job. That's what they were expected to do. And the only way that that would work is if the other tribes supported them. And so that's what God set up. Did the Israelites always support the Levites like they should? Well, no, sadly. After they have been exiled, we see that they're coming back. Nehemiah. We're going to look at Nehemiah 13. We see that Nehemiah has come back and he discovers this travesty. 13 verse 10, he talks about it. He said, I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. They lost those who were supposed to be serving the Lord full time. Verse 11, so I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. All Judah then brought the tithe of grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. So we see a pattern in the Old Testament. The tribes were required to support the Levites, whose main job was to worship and be about service to the Lord. But how about the New Testament? Have you ever thought of this? What about those devoting themselves to the gospel, the preaching of the gospel? What trade did Jesus learn when he was growing up? Anybody think about that? And we all know he was a carpenter. Well, think about this question. During his time of ministry with the apostles, how many chairs did he build? Tables? Was he a carpenter during that 3 years of his ministry here? I don't know. Somebody who's maybe a biblical scholar can tell me if they know a verse that says something along those lines. So then you ask yourself, so if he wasn't supporting himself, who was? Going to Luke in chapter 8 gives us a clue in one of the ways that Jesus was supported. In verse 1 through verse 3 in chapter 8, soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness, Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to the support out of their private means. There was a group, at least this group of women, were helping to support Jesus in his ministry. And also, Paul has something to say about it in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 13. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So, the action, the manifestation of our thankfulness for the provisions that God has made for us is to contribute to the support of the local church. How about, are you thankful for God's blessings here in this time of Thanksgiving? in the Christmas season? What blessings do we have? We have plenty. One of those, as you look around, are the children that He puts in our lives. Are your children a blessing to you? Hopefully everybody said yes. But in Genesis 1, we're familiar with this, Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it." He has blessed our families here at CCMA with lots of children. But besides the children, God has provided this place for us to meet. And I trust and have faith that God will provide us with a place to meet in the future, whether it's here or someplace else. But with those blessings comes responsibilities. So, if you have been blessed by God, you also have the responsibility, and I would suggest to you that an action that you can take is to do a recurring service or chore. Now, why do I say chore? Well, all of us have gifts and are expected to use our gifts to support God's plan. But there are many ways to serve the internal church, and we must be willing to do our own part. Now, some of these jobs in serving the church come with a level of recognition. And these are definitely good endeavors. You can be the preaching pastor, or the poor substitute, or an elder, or a deacon. But I want you to think about jobs that don't get any recognition at all. Jobs that each of us should be willing to perform that we might consider beneath us, beneath our calling. For example, what might that be? Oh, our children? Watching the nursery. Or this building, cleaning the church. How about as on Sunday morning, somebody puts those signs out. These jobs, cleaning the church, watching the nursery, putting out the signs, they're not great. Nobody knows who does that mostly. You're not getting a silver star or gold star for doing it. It's a menial job, but you know what? We have the responsibility to do it. Now, I want to bring out this story, and of course, and I want you to realize that this was more than a chore. Jesus was trying to show the disciples something at a much higher level, spiritual level. But at the time, when they saw it, the apostles did not have a clue what Jesus was talking about. But we can see Jesus doing this menial task. And you all will recall Peter's reaction. But I want you to look at this example of humility demonstrated by the King of Kings before us, sinful men. Go look at John chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. You all know the story, but here's the ending part of it. Verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Now realize, that passage is not talking about Jesus doing a menial task. But put yourself in Peter's shoes, the rest of the apostles. Jesus, their master, their teacher, King of Kings, is stooping down, washing their feet. Can you say from that Jesus is above any menial task? I don't think so. That humble nature that we see there is just the opposite of pride. There's no pride in that. Can we say that serving the church in any capacity is beneath us? From that example, I sure can't. By the way, I want to make one a side note here, is that it just so happened that Kimberly set out the housekeeping list, and I wanted to let you know that the list for the next 3 months represented 18 family units. That is, one or more persons from 18 different family units are cleaning this church. Not going to mention the names, but I mean, so that's actually, I would commend us for having that participation, but I'm sure our participation could be even greater for that and the nursery, which continues to grow. So I would ask that we all consider to do what I call a recurring chore. And the last point that I want to go over is almost a leading question. Are you thankful for Jesus Christ? Especially during this season, as we approach Christmas, the celebration, the anniversary of Jesus taking on the form of a man and starting that redemption process that God had promised so long ago. I started by asking if you are thankful for God's mercy and grace. And I mentioned that our sinful nature, this is not something we could fix. So instead, God sent His Son to do something we could not do ourselves. In Hebrews chapter 9, looking at verses 24 through 28, Hebrews is a great text of theology. And in verse 24, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him." The sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf, we celebrated the Lord's Supper just before this. That's why we do that. To be thankful for Jesus Christ, who through his sacrifice made it possible for us to be righteous, not because we are, but through him. So he appears for this sacrifice. He's a sacrifice for our sins, providing us the salvation. What would Jesus do? What did Jesus tell us to do? How can we honor Jesus and be thankful to the sacrifice he made? I would offer that we are called to engage the community by serving in communities the community needs. That's an external service. Whereas the one I mentioned before, I called it an internal service. That is the performance of a chore, to do a chore for the church. This is to engage the community externally. We should reach out. Look around. What are the needs around us? We know of some. Chris comes and talks about the Atlanta Pregnancy Center. Others we know of, Norcross Co-op Food Bank, Mission Trips. Reaching the community, why? It provides us a base to build relationships with those being served, in order that we can provide them the spiritual truth of God's Word. What did Jesus say about serving those around us in need, both physically and spiritually? I want to go to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40, Verse 34 starts, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.'" We have an opportunity to provide physical needs for those around us, to build relationships where we can attest the saving power and grace of God. The power and grace and mercy that God wants and wishes for His children, for we are His children. And the redemption afforded to us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So, I say, we should engage the community by serving. And so, to summarize, I want to say, at the corporate level, the whole point, why do we meet as a body? What, we are the body of Christ. We are called to do things together because together we are able to do things that are beyond our talents because somebody will have that talent or gift. There is strength. But as a church member, what should we expect of a church member? Well, I would offer that we would expect to A, attend a worship service, that a church member would be in a group, C, they would contribute regularly, D, they would do a chore, a recurring chore, cheerfully. And E, engage in community service, serving those around us. So, how do we do on that scorecard? Anybody want to offer an answer? Are we doing all of these things? The answer is no. Should we strive toward doing all of these things? Is that the goal? Should we strive toward that? Well, I'm going to offer that God's answer is yes. So, I would hope that you would take to heart that during the season that we are thankful for so many things from God's mercy and grace, His provision, His blessings, His and ultimate culminating in the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. That we in turn have responsibilities and that we should step up and do these external things if we truly believe it, if the motivation in our heart is that we truly are thankful, then I would expect that the manifestation, the actions that we would do would represent some of these things.